Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. He normally joins us Mondays at 4, but a very special Wednesday appearance from Donovan McNabb. Donovan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, fellas. How's everything going?
We had a
what up, Big Five?
We had a big win.
What's happening?
We had a big win for the first time in a month. You're nowhere to be found on Monday.
Hey, man, flight delays. I'm trying to get home from the East Coast, man. You know, trying to reward my son for his birthday, 16th birthday, man. I apologize,
no,
but I'm here now.
It's all good. It's all good. And did you have a good time? You were at the autograph signing thing, right?
I was in town for a day or so for a little autograph session, and then I flew on out and on a world tour of different countries. So,
you know,
I'm here.
There you go.
So, Donovan, if I were to ask you, so the Eagles win 31-0 over the Raiders, a welcome victory. What do you think was the biggest reason the offense was able to find success on Sunday?
I would say the Raiders aren't very good.
that's one of them.
Yep. I said this last week, not too high, not too low, depending on what happens. I mean, the thing I will say is we at least ran the football, but we finally decided to involve Dallas Geedert. And then I think our passing concepts are very fundamental, and we were just efficient with it. I think for what we've seen offensively and defensively, it just wasn't anything that was shocking to me, or was did I get overly excited. I think it's more of what happens in these next 3 weeks for me to understand a little bit more of where we are and where we're going from both sides of the ball.
They certainly appear to go back to playing from under center a lot more in this last game than we had seen in the previous three games. First of all, I'm wondering why the hell they even went away from it, because they had a lot of success in that Vikings-Giants game, and then they seemed to go away from it. But then they went back to it. You think this is something they stick with? Because it's helping out not only in the run game, but it's also helping out with the play-action passing game as well.
Well, honestly, Ike, I will say they better. And I don't know if it was so much of Jalen wasn't comfortable with it, or, you know, maybe Kevin was just trying to find something that he can find a happy medium for Jalen and the offense, because they decided to maybe throw first and then run second. But when I look at just this offense, and I talked about it probably around week four, week five, of just kind of talking about what this offense was missing. It was, one, being able to establish the run, and that is getting on the center where you can have two options. And the option is hand the ball off and then run bootleg. Mm-hmm. And then you can get in the shotgun where teams are expecting you to pass, and you can do the read option, and then your quick game. And it wasn't so much of the read option, but we started trying to do the quick game, and defense is keyed on it. And so now you look at, well, what's next? Well, the play-action game. And the only way that the play-action game becomes very effective is if you are under center and you're showing teams that you can play from under center. So now in the drop-back game, when you do a flash fake to, you know, Saquon, and you've been running the football, more of the attempts and not so much the yards, Mm-hmm. Now you're starting to get safeties and linebackers to have to commit to the run first and then pass second. And so you can establish the downfield throw. Mm-hmm. And so with that, it put pressure on your middle part of the defense, and that being your linebackers and your safeties, because now Dallas Geiger can be more of effective in the middle of the football field. And we still haven't used him in the middle of the football field the way that we should.
So, Donovan, we're talking about under center, and, you know, it's interesting. They were under center 30 snaps, but they still only threw the ball five of those snaps under center, which is not nearly the number, you know, that other quarterbacks that are under center that much are throwing. And that I think that sort of points to the opponent, because they're going to need to do it more. What is, from a quarterback perspective, what is it, aside from it helping the run game and creating that decision for the defense to make, from a quarterback's perspective in throwing the ball, what is the advantage throwing the ball under center, and then what is the disadvantage throwing the ball under center?
Well, the advantage of throwing the ball under center is you get a pre-snap read. You're seeing the defensive front, and you know, obviously, a lot of times your coverage is mirrored from your defensive front, and being under center is a lot of things that defenses can't do. There are a lot of things that they can do. And I think you're dictating what you're expecting and what you want from that defense. And so being on the center, first thing they're going to think about is run. And so now with the run game, you can do a stretch play. You can kind of do an outside zone, inside zone, and run a bootleg off of it where you're getting ends to commit because they're trying to stop the run. And safeties now begin to sit at about 8 to 10 yards. Where you're doing a concept which you might go over the top with Devontae, you have a crossing route from Dallas Goedert, and you have a comeback backside, maybe with A.J. Brown, and run your backs in the flat. So now you've got a three-level throw. You're having a three-level throw by showing the run, you're running the half bootleg, and now you're putting pressure on that safety and that outside linebacker. And so when you get from under center to shotgun, now the first thing they're thinking about is you're going to throw the football. So you can just run a shell kind of a defense to keep everything in front of you and apply pressure from your front four or maybe add another linebacker. And so I think for a lot of teams, for instance, if you go back to the Chargers game, they ran a lot of under center plays with a guy who just had surgery about 5 to 6 days before the game. And that was something that Harbaugh's been very effective because he can run Hampton, he can run his running backs, and then he can utilize his tight ends the way that he did. And so, yes, we were able to apply pressure from our front four, but you're still being able to dictate what you're going to get from that defense and that defensive coordinator.
Did you see enough Sunday to feel good about moving forward? You got a division game coming up Saturday against Washington down there. You got Buffalo next week, and then you finish up with Washington before the playoffs start. So my big question would be, I understand the opponent was the Raiders, so you can only take so much from that. But,
right.
But they dominated them, and that's what good teams should do to bad teams. I'm wondering how much does that change your outlook on the team moving forward? Do you feel better about them moving forward after that?
Well, yes and no, Ike, and I'm probably in the same boat with you. Is yes, because we did play the way we should have played.
Mm-hmm.
No, because we talked about them being under center, but then the no part is, so what do we do with that? Are we just kind of going to be a little bit of vanilla with that, or now can we open it up where now Jalen trusts it, and then also Kevin Petula begins to trust it, where we can now get a little bit more creative?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we play against our rival opponents, they've seen us.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I mean? This isn't something new where it's a new team and all of a sudden's on the schedule. They've seen us. So they're going to game plan for the shotgun. They're going to game plan for now looking like what it could be under center. Now can we change it up? And that change up could be a little bit more of shifts and motions. It could also be a little bit more of the wide receiver screens. It could be a little more of the downfield throws where we haven't seen that as much.
Yeah,
I want to see us be able to throw dagger routes at 18 yards. I want to see us be able to throw comebacks and post corners. I want to see us be able to run more of shallow crosses, you know, something that, you know, he's very effective and efficient with, but you got to be able to establish the third level, and that third level being obviously, you know, the deeper pass, best 18 yards.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they put him under center. Spike said 30 plus times, but right. they ran the ball so much. I wonder if they were using that game just to get him accustomed to being under center more. And now you add a little bit more as we go here, like you said, Donovan, where you can do some things in the passing game. But I think the first step is just getting him to where it's almost second nature to him to be under center. I wonder if that's what they were doing Sunday.
Well, I hope so. And I think there's a way of approaching it. And I think right now, I think Kevin and Nick are approaching it slowly so Jalen is comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think Jalen is starting to understand what it can also do to this offense.
Yeah.
And that only works in the favor of everybody on offense, even including Jalen. So I think we expand from it, and we'll be interested to see how many times we're under center.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Commanders, I don't think so. But I think it's when you show it and the timing of when you show it and then what you do with it.
All right, Donovan. Well, I appreciate all the insight, and we will talk to you Monday after, 2 days after
yes,
the game.
Yep.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, man. We will talk to you next week.
All right, broski.
All right, you guys have a great hump day, man. Enjoy yourself.
All right, Donovan.
Jason Kelce, how are you, bud?
Doing great, Joe.
How you doing? Man. Jason, always better when we see you, man.
Yeah, same.
You bring some sanity to this world.
Do I?
Yeah, this insane world.
Do I?
Actually, yes. when you're scary to think about.
When you were belly flopping or whatever that was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's that. You have fun with that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Belly flop? It was like belly battling.
Belly,
yeah.
What is
belly
that called?
Bucking. Belly bucking.
Bucking is what it's called. Okay.
The term, yeah. No, it's a sumo wrestling, but only using your guts. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man.
It just looked like something fun to try.
Sure.
That kind of is your thing, right? Just something fun to try, you'll do it.
Yeah, I'm retired now. I'm trying to
experience
a bunch of things I never really got to do while I
fill up your day.
Exactly.
By the way, Jason, I'm sure you know in the last game, I don't know if you were watching on TV or there, but they mentioned maybe
earpiece in while Joe and
Troy. Oh, that's right. You were that. Yeah, you were.
They were like, I'm sure they've reached out to Jason Kelce. Of course they have. Obviously. Honestly, they have
to. I'm like, guys, dang, guys, will you shut up? Why are you putting this on me right now?
I thought, I don't really have to ask Jason about this during the show, so we can squash that right there, right?
Yeah, all good, all good.
All right, what's not all good, Jason, is our team. So you referenced last week that, you know, concerned, but not massively concerned, but you referenced you'd be more concerned if they lost again. They did.
Yeah.
So where do you sit now, big picture, with what's going on?
Well, I guess just looking at the Chargers game, defense, great bounce back game.
Tremendous.
They played phenomenal.
Yeah, they did.
Right?
Yep.
I thought it was really good on that side of the ball. Offensively, I think that there's a lot of things to take away from. I'll say this. Watching the game, incredibly frustrating, was like losing my mind in the production truck and upstairs watching the game as it unfolded because they continually killed themselves with interceptions and penalties and turnovers and things like that. But going back and watching the tape, I really do think that there were some positive things to take away from the game offensively. The quarterback position, obviously, Jalen didn't play well and hasn't played well for a couple games. I do think that, by and large, throughout his entire career, he has not been a turnover merchant
of
any high standard. So I think that getting fixed moving forward, I thought the offense did some really good things this past week. That they can build on, to be honest with you.
Do you think they tried to do more Yeah, were they trying to evolve the offense? Because it looked to a lot of us like they were trying to evolve the offense, and then maybe he struggled in that process.
Maybe, yeah. It exposed Jalen to some things he wasn't quite as comfortable with.
I think that they've been, throughout the past maybe 3 or 4 weeks, they've been doing more, you know, guys going over the middle of the ball and, you know, more of these like concepts where people are moving and whatnot. And they have to get to that, right? They were being too stagnant. That was something that they were getting a lot of pushback back from a lot of media out there. And I don't know that's that different. Like, you know, we would do mesh concepts before, and I don't know that how much of that is why Jalen has struggled. I think that they have definitely made a concerted effort to make that the offense less predictable and like the receivers being stagnant, motions. The other thing that
well,
I really
from your
about,
experience with the motions before you get on, from your experience, do quarterbacks oppose motions in most cases? Do quarterbacks welcome motions?
I think there's different kinds of motions and there's different quarterbacks that prefer different ones. I mean, if I was a quarterback, I would want man zone indicating motions and trying to figure out what these guys are in pre-snap so I can accelerate my thinking and processing post-snap. But there are quarterbacks that like to be more stagnant, spread the ball out. They were in empty a lot this past game. Mm-hmm. Empty forces defenses to kind of unfold a little bit more and tell you what they're doing. It's harder to disguise things. So there's a lot of different types of motions and all that. So I don't think there's a generic rule of thumb. What I liked from this game was I thought there was a lot more cohesive things in formations and motions together in the game plan. I thought they had a clear trips bunch package where they had this split zone run, then they had a split zone play action off of it, and they had a throw to A.J. Brown that went for about 16 yards. And there was a whole package there for that formation and groupage and personnel. They had a whole empty package. They had a whole double tight end, you know, one on the ball, one off in the hip, but he's inside of him position, and they were running, motioning him over and running outside zone this way. They're running counter off of it with the motion over there. They were doing play action. So you're seeing things where, okay, now this is looking like it's all together. We're setting things up. They ran that trips bunch motion, jetted Devontae Smith, ran a split zone, and Derwin got like a yard lost tackle. It was a great play by Derwin James. He was a phenomenal player. And that play sucked. But then 6 plays later or so, the same drive, they run the exact same thing, play action, and they hit A.J. Brown over the middle for like 16 yards, and they get into their territory. So I thought the offense looked a lot better from like all of these things mirroring. There's a semblance of what we're trying to accomplish, and I thought it was encouraging watching more so than at most of the times earlier this season.
So Greg Cosell and Rhea, you and I both follow Greg's work quite a bit. He breaks all this stuff down. He thought the same thing. He thought they really evolved the offense in a way that could benefit them moving forward. They just got to execute it better, essentially.
He said obviously the interceptions, you know, cost them, but he saw stuff that he has not seen all year long, which was, you know, just a more NFL type offense.
They moved the ball pretty consistently. I mean, they had the 2 3-and-outs, I think, maybe. I know at least one. But they got into their territory a number of times, and whether it was penalties or turnovers, they killed themselves a lot of the times. And this is a good defense. Chargers defense is a really good defense in the NFL, particularly their pass defense. So, you know, I liked it. I liked that we got Saquon going more. I really think to get this offense going, establishing the line of scrimmage, making them defend that, making them respect that has been a huge reason the offense has been successful in the past. And I think that moving forward, there's a lot of good things from that perspective to build on.
So, Jason, did we really get the run game going, though, or is that a little bit deceptive? It feels like
explosive.
We got the 152-yard explosive.
I thought he had a few other big hits. He had there was a split zone earlier. The plays that didn't work were the RPO kind of softer runs, and sometimes these man schemes that we do. I do think moving forward, we should try and stick more to the zone concepts, gap concepts. Let's get double teams and just build walls. And let Saquon find a way through there. I think the pin and pulls and things like that have been very successful in the past for us. I think that they ran a trap play. They had a trap play dialed up. This thing is so freaking wired. Like, this is a explosive run down the field. It's right around the 50-yard line. And the snap count is ticking down. And they snapped this thing like right at zero. the nose guard jets it on Juergens on the block back, and he gets a TFL on it, basically. If that block gets solidified, that thing is gone. Yeah. And that's just a circumstance. I mean, Cam could have did better on the play, but that's a tough block, man. You don't know if that guy's going to go across you. You got to kind of be ready either way. And this is where the man concepts are hard. Like, if this guy slants, I got to take him. But the ball's coming right here. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot more comfortable if I know I got a partner coming with me, and I can really sell out on this. And I think if you want to get these guys running off the ball, and they did it at times in this game, they ran some really good outside zones into a 3-by set with an off tight end, and they had some good hits. Now, like LA adjusted, but I think that there's some things watching this tape that they'll be able to go back and be like, we can get this run game going if we stick to this, this, and this.
All right, so Jason with us. I got to just real quick. Jason brought to us by Garage Beer, his beer. The garage always open, light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or online at garagebeer.com, official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere.
I had just a problem, a weird issue with the different speeds of Jalen, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, Jalen showed a burst in overtime.
Yeah,
that
great play.
It was an amazing run. It was the explosive run in overtime, and I thought it was a scramble. And and I thought, holy cow, he's not banged up the way I thought he was. Holy cow, he's not lost a step the way I thought he had.
Yeah.
Where did this come from? Why has he been sitting on this? You know, like, what's going on with that? It struck me as incredible and odd, and I don't know how I feel about it. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think that play in particular, you look faster when you're decisive and you know what you're about to do, and you're going to do it with reckless abandon, right?
Maybe that's it.
And I think a lot of these reads and RPOs, when you're coming off this end read, am I throwing the ball to the flat defender? Am I throwing it to the interception, which was the guy over top, to end the game? Then you're not running full speed on that. You're kind of trying to read it out as you're going, as opposed to like, hey, we're going to do a called quarterback run. Or when you're scrambling, just you see green grass, just go, baby. And I think that was a huge play. Overtime was frustrating because Jalen, outside of the one play, was phenomenal. And he usually is at end-of-game scenarios. But that scramble, and I think that got called back from a hold, right? The scramble?
Correct. Yes, it got called back from a hold.
It was 3rd and 16, and then he threw a freaking dart over
on
the middle.
3rd and 16 to Devontae.
Yeah. Where he is always criticized about that.
Yeah,
and then even at the end of the game, he has the ball to AJ to win it, and I mean, it's he didn't play well with the turnovers; it really killed us. But you still see flashes of what it has been.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And what he can be. So I think the speed is still there. I think speed really manifests more when you're decisively going after it. Yeah. And he has that talent still, for sure.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Jason with us for about an hour. 215-592-9494. We've got a lot of ground to cover. Reminder, 8 o'clock today. 8 o'clock, we're going to give you a name. And with that name, you can win tickets to the James, are people in the mood to win tickets for the Eagles-Raiders game yet? Because, I mean,
could be at the game where the team turned the season around.
Oh, yeah,
how about that?
And this is that game!
And I'd like
when
to point out,
at the end of the year, the Super Bowl champion, it was the Raiders game where it turned around.
It's going to snow on Sunday.
Ooh. Thank goodness. Oh, there you go.
Sunday morning.
Wonderful.
One right now calling for 1 to 3.
Oh,
let's get that up.
We got to talk to LaShawn about that at 9:30.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy knows how to run through the snow. Anyway, 8 o'clock today. Listen for the name. With that name, you can win tickets tomorrow on the show to the Eagles-Raiders game.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
All right, let's get some calls in here. Kevin in Langhorne. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going great, Kevin.
Doing good.
Man, it's going horrible. But I want to start off the day with a positive note. Let's go, Flyers. I am a diehard Flyers fan. I know no one cares right now, but I do.
You should.
Thank you, boys, for playing so well. Zegras, Vladar, thank you so much. I need this team to do well.
Kevin, they have exceeded expectations, and this is before they've even really started spending on, really spending. So I think it's exciting.
And it's all Vladar. That guy, I thought he was just a guy. He's turned out to be a damn good goalie. Moving on, back to the negativity. So with the Eagles, I'm not even mad anymore. After the Bears game, I just was like, oh, okay. We won the Super Bowl last year. This is what it's going to be like. And then I got mad again because I watched the game Monday night.
Yeah.
And you see all those picks. You see the drops. And I'm not a Jalen basher. I'm not going to come here and say he should be benched because, honestly, I think he's earned the right. I am 41 years old. I have seen 2 Super Bowls. I respect those who won me a championship in the city. He should play out the rest of the season. Going to Tanner McKee is not going to win us a Super Bowl this year. Let him finish out the season. But that being said, I have zero hope this team will win more than 2 games the rest of the year.
So I disagree with you, Kevin. I really do. I think it's more likely that they win 3, and I don't think they're dead. And believe me, I could be dead wrong. You might be dead right. But I think they're going to rally. And honestly, whether that was with Hurts or McCain, it'll probably stay Hurts. I actually think they're going to rally.
And listen, I would love to feel that way. I fooled myself before. It's just, now the difference is from 2023, the difference is this defense is legit.
Yeah.
This defense is legit. So if we can get the defense to start scoring some points, right, keep the ball out of the offense's hands, we got a chance.
There's no question.
I don't see that happening.
Don't disagree. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised right now, and this is what stinks, because I am going to get excited sitting in my basement watching the game, and I'm going to be all excited, and it's going to be a slobber knocker 10-7. Yeah. You know,
well, Kevin, let me say,
who are you worried about over these next 4 games that you don't think they'll win 3?
I'm worried about the Eagles, Jason. I've been watching
that. I hear you.
That's a good response.
Great answer.
Pull that
Jason,
for drop
Jason,
of the week.
Raiders, Washington.
Right. I love you, Jason. I love you, too. But I'm sorry, man. This is WIP, buddy. I appreciate it.
He knows.
I'm sorry. You can't watch this team and tell me they don't have the possibility to lose to anybody. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders, I wouldn't bet on the Raiders spread. They're plus 11.
I wouldn't either. But hold on, Kevin, I hear you. But let me just present this positive look at it and just give me your reaction to this. Because believe me, I feel down also. We all are down to varying degrees. But it is essentially structurally the same football team that 2.5 games ago was 8-2 and had a 21-0 lead on the Dallas Cowboys. Like, we shouldn't forget that, Kevin.
Can I also throw in, if we're looking for positivity, the records of their last 5 games, the teams they played, 9-4, 9-4, 6-6-1, 8-5, 9-3-1. Like, it's not like they've had like these teams they're playing now, they should be a lot better than. They've had a tough run here.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, Kevin, give me an answer, buddy, for a decision in a movie. What was a tough one?
Well, it's a tough decision like I'm making. Am I going to take the red pill that I think the Eagles season's over, or take the blue
pill?
Great
answer, dude. That could win.
You got it, Kevin. Good call right there. Let's listen to Sirianni. If you missed it, we had Nick Sirianni on the show yesterday. And pretty early in the interview, we got to the quarterback situation, Jalen and, yes, Tanner McKee. Let's listen to the exchange we had with Nick Sirianni yesterday. Nick, is Jalen definitely your starter Sunday?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is there a possibility later this season, if he continues to struggle, that you can make a change at the quarterback spot?
No, I think that's ridiculous. Jalen Hurts, I know every time I go out in that field with Jalen Hurts as our quarterback, we have a chance to win the game. And that's something that's been proven. We've won a lot of football games. And again, we don't ever go into something and assign, this is a team game. You know, this is the most ultimate team game. So when you win together as a team, you lose together as a team. It's never just one thing. You know, I kind of said that, you know, last week or the week before with Kevin, the same deal. And so, I know every time I step, you know, every time I walk out on that field and Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback, I have so much confidence that we can win every game and any game that we play that we're in.
Right, that was Nick Sirianni yesterday, obviously having Jalen's back. So we had two poll questions yesterday on this topic. And if you didn't listen in the 9 o'clock hour when we released the poll results, they were pretty interesting. So the first poll question was who should start on Sunday versus the Raiders? And I would certainly start Jalen, and I said that all show yesterday. John, I was struck 24% said Tanner McKay.
That's crazy.
That's not a small, you know, quarter of the people saying Tanner McKay on Sunday. All right, the second poll question, and this one, I guess it falls in line with the first poll result, but it surprised me as well, because I did talk about, you know, I would go to Tanner McKay soon if Hurts doesn't pick it up. And let me read you the specific wording of the poll. If you're inclined to stick with Hurts as the starter Sunday versus the Raiders, are you open-minded to going to Tanner McKay at some point this season if Jalen continues to struggle? And 54% of people said yes, open-minded to going to McKay. So amongst the fan base, it's there. Now Jalen, Jason, obviously Nick very much had Jalen's back yesterday with that comment. But the winds of talk are swirling. Let me ask you this. When all of this is going on, and you've been through this kind of thing a few times.
Oh, yeah.
All right. What? By the way, I just wrote down, and they're for different reasons. 2012, 2015, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2023.
Yes.
I think were the seasons when you went through, like, it got hellish at times. Three of those times you guys pulled it together, 18, 19, and 21. You made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, 21 was kind of... Yeah,
but, you had an easy schedule, but people were proud that you bounced back from 2020. But 2012, 15 with Chip, 20 disaster, 23 disaster in the end. You didn't pull it together. What is it like being in that building amongst your teammates, the coaches? You see Jeffrey Lurie in the hallway. What is it like when the whole town is swirling around and everybody's in a bad mood?
I don't know. We never had the positivity bunny.
Jason, I don't know if you missed it. They don't have it anymore either.
Yeah, I would bet that's probably gone now.
That thing is gone. Done.
I think...
Wow. Much to Rhea's credit for...
what a disgrace.
Spurring that thing out of there.
I think, you know, when things aren't going well in Philadelphia, obviously there's so much... there's so much media attention. There's so much... passion and importance that holds within the city itself, that you're going to feel it. And you feel it when it's great too, which is amazing. But when it's not going well, it's going to be, you know, really, really overwhelming at times. And I think that's where you need great leadership. That's where you need guys that have been through it before, especially in this city, that understand that, hey, man, they're this way because they care, and it's unacceptable what's happening on the field. And you have to kind of guide players through that, because it's very easy, I think, for players to either take offense to the level of making them hesitant or, like, you know, almost, you know, down on themselves. And I think that, or conversely, just block it all out like nothing wrong is happening. And that was my main thing with the positivity. Like, you guys shouldn't be positive. You guys should be pretty pissed off. And it's okay to be pissed off right now. Like, I was pissed off a lot when I played in Philadelphia. Yeah. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, I think when you're not playing well, there should be an intense self-accountability. And there's all this noise happening. And yeah, you got to block it out to an extent. But more importantly, you have to know what's real and what's not. And you have to watch yourself and be able to critically analyze, you know, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing well? Mm-hmm. And lock out of this tendency to, oh, you know, well, this is a hard position. This is that. And this is
try and leave the excuses out of it as much as you can and get to the bare bones. Like, what could I have done better on this play?
Yeah.
What can I do better in my job? How can I communicate better?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Why is this O block with the tackle tight end going to a nickel that a receiver's blocking? Like, what do we, you know, how can I communicate and tell them, hey, you need to be going here? And I think, you know, back to the noise, I think that it takes very self-aware players to play in this city. If you're too mentally weak, you ain't going to make it. And if you're a guy that thinks you're the bee's knees and nothing's ever going to go wrong, you will get humbled very quickly. And you have to be a very self-aware, confident individual to play in this town. It's one of the reasons I think that this city, although we've had the down years, we've rebounded quickly. And, you know, this team is being tested right now. And their mental fortitude is being tested. There is not a talent issue. I don't believe there is a coaching issue. Can these guys stick through this and persevere through it? They got some good games that are very advantageous for them coming up where they can get this thing back on track and feel really good going into the playoffs. Or, like Kevin just said, they can continue to the bed.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not.
No, you're not.
But I got it. No worries. I got your back,
so,
brother.
So you have the unique perspective. You have the unique perspective.
Jason always takes out 15% of his best content with one curse.
It had something to do with the bed, and it was not making it.
Yeah, correct.
You have the unique perspective, Jason, that you've played with this quarterback, and you played with him during what appeared to be better times, you know, like
for sure.
where the offense was rolling. Everyone seemed a little happier.
Yep.
So how much has Jalen regressed?
How much has he regressed?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a tough I know everybody likes to put it as though it's like one person. I don't know that it's that simple. It's never that simple. Is Jalen playing worse this year, or is the production worse? There's no question the production isn't as what it has been. But, I mean, there's the new offensive coordinator. Everybody loves to go at him at times, and the receivers. And, like, you know, it's the offensive line has been banged up. I don't know that that's a fair thing to say that he has regressed. I think that offensively the production is down, and they're trying to figure it out. I still think Jalen has the tools necessary to be a very effective quarterback in this league. He's done it before, and I think he will do that moving forward.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Jason with us for about an hour. Reminder, in 4 minutes, we're going to give you a name. And with that name, you can win tickets tomorrow on the show to the Eagles-Raiders game on Sunday. Derek in Paoli right now. Good morning, Derek.
Hey, good morning. I ain't going to be long today. I heard the Jalen Hurts thing. When he was saying it comes down with the coaching, right?
Yeah, that was bad.
So you could listen. You saying it's bad, right? This is my take on it, right? That's the second time that he's been asked about that thing with the running. Both times he was asked, he gave an uncharacteristic Jalen Hurts response to most, right? So I just feel like somewhere down the line, maybe, like he's getting tired of like all these reports and Jalen won't do this, and Jalen won't do that. Like, if you were in the locker room, Jason Kelce right there with y'all, like, It's like we think that he's unhuman, right? It's like if you go into battle people every single week, and all you hear is these reports out there that Jalen Hurts won't do this, and Jalen Hurts won't do that. You don't hear no reports about no one else, whether they're true or not.
Yeah, but, Derek. Whether it's true or not, it's a big difference. I think they're frustrated with him, and that's why I think the reports have come out. You can't just act like that's not on the table.
But that would make you feel better that it's true, though. Like, let's just say, like,
not really. Not really,
saying,
but
though, like, I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, I know for me, if I'm looking people in the face every single day, and then publicly they're like,
sure,
oh, yeah, I love Derek, right? And then behind the scenes, it's like, man, yep, I wouldn't trust him. He's this, he's that. Da, 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 da. Like, I'm just saying, this would be a lot of whispering.
Yeah, that's tough. You're right.
That's all I'm saying. Like, yep. I'm not saying like he's right, whatever. I'm just saying he's human, and it's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like Chelsea said, you can sit here and say, like, did he regress? I don't know. I think he still has the ability to be what he once was, but I do think all this outside noise, he pretends like he don't hear it. But trust me, he's got to hear some of it. He might not hear me right now. I should have said what I'm saying, but that big gun report and this, that, and the third.
Look, Derek, I think it's a great phone call. You know, give me an answer for a tough decision. You can win the Shane Gillis tickets. Tough decision for a character.
Listen, I ain't even going to be greedy. I never even heard of Shane Gillis, so I ain't even going to
listen.
Wow.
Jason, you're a fan, right?
Oh, huge fan. Huge fan. Stand up, tires.
Tires is a riot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very, not he's, he's hilarious. He has a great way of coming off like he's an idiot, but at the same time, very like intelligent. And I think it's a hard one to kind of navigate. And a lot of my favorite comedians can kind of hit both of those realms.
Kevin James had that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
He kind of bounced between smart and
he could be affable, but he can also be like this history buff that has like a lot of, you could tell he's got some intellectual things happening up
there. Totally. Yeah. Let's get to Jordan right now. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning, Mr. Kelce. And thank you for everything you've done for Philadelphia.
Thank you.
You know, I don't know what a weaker performance was this week. Jalen on Monday or Joe DeCamera calling out on Tuesday. And
come
not
on,
the
Jordan.
Of Eagles
That's a good question.
Come on, buddy. And it was Wednesday. Kidding, it was Wednesday.
We're thinking of benching you, Joe.
Actually, no, was it Tuesday I was off? What
Tuesday,
Tuesday
after the Monday night game. Yes.
After the Monday night
after
game.
After the Eagles game.
I was
you know?
Sick. I'm
Monday
still
night
sick,
game.
Jason.
Joe called out sick.
Yeah,
Jason.
After an Eagles game.
Well, Jordan, as I said yesterday, I'm like Jalen. I only play big in the biggest games. that was just a Tuesday show in early December. What do you want me to tell you?
Wow.
You had your day. Amy from Villanova nursed you back to health, and now you're
dude, she has stayed away. It's an outrage. It's an outrage. I'm languishing at home by myself. I will say she did bring me food one time and then drove right back. She didn't want to get sick. Didn't even come in my apartment. Didn't want to get sick. It's an outrage right now. But anyway.
So a couple of things this morning. You know, number one, I don't think we need a positivity bunny. I think we need a positivity Kelce in the locker room. Because there is something wrong in that locker room. We've had guys retiring before they even put an Eagles jersey on. So there is something foul missing that locker room. And it is not a team that is playing with camaraderie. So I remember the dog masks for the underdog mentality. Like, that was hard. The bunny, it felt a little soft. So I think maybe a little Kelce emotion, I think a little dog mentality back in there is really going to help this team.
Well,
my other point this morning, you know, we talked for months about how the defense was decimated by players we lost. We lost seven starters, I believe, on defense. And we retained the same offense. What is playing well this year? It's our defense.
Yep.
Our offense, which is the same, is struggling.
And by the way, Jordan, the offense, and I'd have to look this up, but I think it's like a 3-to-1 ratio on payroll.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's crazy.
With the highest paid offense in the NFL, I believe, and the lowest paid
offense.
Maybe not exactly, but it's roughly
there about. Yeah, yeah.
So as much as I want to blame Jalen for our recent losing streak, and I think there's a lot of blame to be laid on him. I think he's deserving of blame. It does make me wonder back to the coaching staff. Because if you're presenting coaching staff that, yes, lost the play caller, but retains the same offense and a defense that is almost completely turned over, are we blaming the players or are we blaming the coaches? I don't want to let the offensive coaching staff off easy here.
Jordan, I think it's so much more Jalen. I've said that for weeks and weeks now. I thought it was the O-line early in the year. I think they've played much better lately. I thought they played a good game the other day. I thought Jalen cost them the game. And frankly, in the last month, I think he's been a disaster. I mean, that's the way I say it.
I am with you on my progression this year of what I thought was wrong with the team. First the O-line, then AJ, now Jalen. But we could pick a problem with the offense every week. The fact remains the offense is still playing poor, and I don't think we can let the coaching off the hook. And as much as I love Nick Sirianni as a leader of men, I am concerned about his ability to scheme a game plan, and it doesn't give me any hope. You know, it almost makes me wonder, was last year the fluke if this is the production of the offense this year?
All right, Jordan, give me an answer for a tough decision for a character.
Original Superman movie, 1978. Does he save the East Coast or the West
Coast? Well, he promised Miss
Tessmacher.
I was going to say Hannigan. I had freaking Annie in my mind. He has to save Hackensack, New Jersey first, Tessmacher's mom. And then Lois.
Yes, Hackensack, the most important place in America.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? I'll write it down. Superman 1.
Let's get to our crossover with our guys.
We have guests.
106.7 The Fan, Steve Saban, and B. Mitch, Brian Mitchell, with us right now. Guys, how you doing?
B. Man, we're doing good, but y'all got us coming on, and you're going to have some damn caller. Tell him to go.
Well, we did. We had him go, yeah.
You got to set it up properly, man.
Thanks to me.
Well, sometimes you control the phones. Hugh's been hanging up on people lately just because. Hey, tell me about that?
No, yeah, every once in a while when they start talking too much, just drop them off.
No,
bam.
Listen, let me tell you. Y'all think I'm bad? This guy we talking to right now?
In terms of petty?
Way worse than me.
More petty than you?
Way worse than me.
I don't believe that. I don't know about that.
No, let me tell you.
I know what I'm talking about and they don't. I'm not listening to him.
You know, the better trick is you put them on mute. And so they keep talking, and they don't know that they've been hung up.
Oh, yeah, put them right on hold. It's one of my favorite tricks. I do that a lot.
Wait a minute. You just pot them down, and then they'll keep talking.
Yeah,
you should see his Twitter feed.
He can't be as petty as you.
No, I don't really, like, I post stuff, but I don't engage too often. If I do engage, it might go on all day. But I don't try to engage too often because most people on those things anyway, they're just trying to irritate you.
Yes,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what my goal is this year?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start reading Bible scriptures on the air, and I'm going to quit Twitter beef.
No one believes you.
Well, good luck on that.
You're telling lies on air, I see.
Good luck on that.
B-Mitch, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf, man. I'm going to do better.
B-Mitch, is literally my quote on my Twitter feed? I ain't here to fight the whole internet today.
That's a good one. Hugh, you should take that advice. Because Hugh will take on the whole internet. Yeah.
Right. If you want, you can fight the whole internet.
I'll try.
Some days I wake up and I'm like, I'm here for this. And I'll go like a whole hour and a half and piss off everybody. See, then I leave.
They continue.
We come
from the same cloth.
Wake up feeling frisky.
Because what happens is they just start talking and they start sitting all kind of stuff. And they don't realize, once I leave, I don't look at it ever again.
That's good.
I'll go to the next section.
I'm kind of on that page. But, boy, when I look at it and they catch me on one of them days, it's going down.
Yeah, then he comes in here. He's like, I'm turning over a new leaf today. No more. All right, guys, let's talk some football. We got a game tomorrow. And, look, when the schedule came out, I think you guys probably thought the same thing. These games were going to be super meaningful between these two teams coming off of last year. Yeah. They're not for the Commanders. They are for the Eagles. All right. But let's just start here. What the heck happened to you guys this season? I mean, last year, we're in the title game against you guys. This year, it seems like it's just been a season from hell. What happened?
You start getting injuries and all that stuff, and I know people think that's an excuse, but once you start getting injuries, everything is thrown off. I think the whole chemistry got thrown off. Terry not coming into camp early, all that stuff messed up the offense. But you know what? You got to do better. And this year, it didn't happen for them. I think they got to get back to the little – they tried to go after it after going last year to the championship game, and they say, we just add a few pieces. Well, it didn't work that way. You should have kept building. I think they need to get more of a base, and then they can move forward.
When you remember these games, B-Miss, what are some of the things that you remember fondly about playing against the Eagles when you were – back then it was another team, but the Commanders?
Well, the thing about it is I think – no matter what the records are, you can't say it.
Tell them again, B-Mitch.
You can't relax on that because let's be real. I know players like to say, we don't overlook anybody. That's a bunch of crap. You look down at a team that's not playing well and you know that you're a better team, you normally just slack somewhere along the way. And that other team knows if they can get up on you and make that pressure jump on you, it's hard as hell to just flip the switch in a football game. So if you're the favorite and you start messing around, have turnovers and things like that, and the game comes down to it, and that other team is winning, when you start pressing, you mess up. And I think that's one thing the Eagles don't want to have to do. Because, we've seen the offense turn the ball over sometimes this year. Jalen has had his up and down moments. So and I don't know what type of quarterback completely he is. He's won the Super Bowl. He's done some things. But there are games you look at and you go, what the hell is going on? Because he doesn't look like the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, you want to talk about this rivalry? Here's something to trigger, Brian. Ready? November 12th, 1990.
Body bag.
Monday Night Football body bag game. 9 Redskin players left the game with injuries. And who finished the game under center?
B-Mitch.
What's the last score in the box score? Mitchell, 1 yard run.
How about that?
28-14, the final score. Buddy Ryan had boasted before the game, we're going to beat them so bad, we're going to have to be carted off in body bags. And sure enough, that's what happened.
Came back later on and then won that game in the playoffs, though.
The little reminder there. That one slide.
His petty runs.
Yeah,
deep,
no, I could hear it. Yeah. All right,
now listen. You know I was up there for 3 years, and everybody said, "Man, you remember the body bag game?" I'm like, "There's another part to that whole story." They said, "What do you mean?" I said, "The playoff." Oh, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, we cut that story off right there. All right, guys, I want to come back to the Jalen thing in a second. Your thoughts on him, but in terms of the Commanders, what you're seeing, because there's two types of teams late in the season. We watched the Raiders here last week against the Eagles, and I think that Raiders team is quit. I mean, they're just done. I didn't see it. They stink, I know that, but also I didn't feel like they wanted to be here. The Commanders, are they still playing hard for Dan Quinn? I know they won last week. What kind of effort do you expect out of them tomorrow? And they play three division games to end this. They play Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles to finish this thing.
They still playing for Dan. I think they really, really are trying to get it. Some teams, you're right. Like when the Raiders, they look like the old Cardinals back in the day. They already had their U-Hauls on the back of their trucks. They're ready to go on.
Oh, it's bad.
But I believe that this team understands. And I think, you know, like young guys in football today, they don't understand a lot of the rivalries, but I think they understand the NFC East. And I think they're going to be ready to play. So if they're not, they will be embarrassed by the Eagles because they see that. But if they could come out there ready to play, and they're going to be given some opportunities, I believe, in this game, and it could be a tight one.
There are several teams that have become non-functional. The Raiders are one of them. You guys saw that last week. Mm-hmm. 75 yards of total offense. I think the game ended in, what, 2 hours and 40 minutes?
Yeah, it was one of the quickest games in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
They're like, okay, we're done here. Let's move on. I don't get the sense that the Commanders are non-functional or that they've quit. But how do you explain me, Mitch, the zero against Minnesota?
I can't.
Is that just everything just went wrong?
I was watching that game, and I'm serious. I thought I was living in, like, outer space or something.
They single-handedly
answer that one.
They took the shock paddles to J.J. McCarthy's entire career and went, clear, and they brought him back to
life. I hope that's the only game they play like that the rest of the year.
I hope so, too. But it didn't look like they were quitting. They just sucked.
Yeah.
When I watched them the last few weeks, I felt like that too. I don't think it's quitting because they played the Broncos tough. What was the last week of November? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Broncos haven't lost in months, and that took a 2-point conversion to finish. So I think the Commanders are still playing hard. We'll see how it looks tomorrow.
You know what though, Joe? Speaking of quitting, because I remember when I was in Atlanta, Marcus Mariota quit on the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he said I'm out,
and he's
they were trying to screw him though, man.
No, but I was watching Hard Knocks. And they're talking about he's playing well. What is he doing that's making him play as well as he's been playing lately?
I think he understands. He and Cliff works well together. Mm-hmm. He understands his offense. And I think he sees himself in a different way. He came here knowing he was a backup.
Mm-hmm.
He came in knowing he was going to be that guy that could get into the game if something happened to Jaden. And I think he's just embraced that. In Atlanta, they told him he was going to be the starter.
No, he was the starter, B. Mitch.
I know.
They benched him for Desmond Ritter.
I know what you're saying, B. Mitch, and you're right, but he had opportunities. Like, y'all, I was there. You need to go back. Like, he played horrible. And when they decided to bench him towards the end of the year, he got mad. Well, he took his ball and went home.
Well, I can tell you, he took his ball, came here, and he ain't been quitting since.
I mean, so, I guess the change of scenery. I guess he ain't liking it in Atlanta. It was too dark for him. I don't know. Maybe that's
true.
He's had that one play like weekly.
Mm-hmm.
He'll play damn good football and he'll have one little hiccup.
Yeah.
And I think if he could stay away from the hiccup, he could do some good things on the field.
Yeah, man. I'm looking at his stat line: 211 yards last week.
He's running a lot too. Yeah. I think he's run for like 40 or 50 yards a game recently.
He can still scoop.
Yeah.
He's like an older dude like I was and still can outrun you.
He is a decidedly non-awful.
We ain't got to tell family business like that.
He is a very much non-awful QB2, and there's a lot of teams in this league that would kill for that kind of a guy.
Well, the Eagles had him here a couple years ago.
Non-awful QB2.
Well, some teams have awful QB2s. We see that.
I know that sounds like an insult.
No, but I'm just saying. I mean, most teams looking for a QB that's non-awful.
All right, let's talk about QB1. B-Mitch, you referenced Jalen Hurts earlier. I mean, we've been fighting about Jalen here all year, even though he is a Super Bowl champion, and he's obviously been an excellent Eagles quarterback in balance over the 5 years. But this year, I think, Bemis, there was a sense off the Super Bowl that that was like a launching pad. Now he was going to be that kind of guy on most weeks, and that just hasn't been his season this year. He bounced back last week before that really rough five-game stretch, which ended with that Chargers game on Monday night. When you watch Jalen, what do you see?
I see a guy. Well, I watched Jalen all the way back to college, and I've had a great respect for him because of how he handled the whole thing with Tua. You know, many guys would have been running away. He stood right there and hung in there. But I think, and Hugh and I played with Donovan. Donovan's my cousin, okay? Donovan had the mindset where he wanted to prove that he wasn't a running quarterback. And I think Jalen has a little bit of that in him, too. He can run the ball, but he refuses to do it at times when he could and just continue moving the chains, okay? I think he needs to utilize every bit of experience he has after this week, though. Every bit of ability he has, because he can be the times when he'll go in these games, he'll have like 14, 15 passes. He's not doing well, but he won't have any rushing yards. He'll have a small amount. He can break a game wide open. And I know there's times when he's gotten hit, but hell, get 10 and get down. But I think he needs to utilize everything that he has in his arsenal against teams, and he'll be a much better quarterback.
Steve, what do you think of Jalen?
I look at him, and I just know from friends up there, and I listen to you guys when I'm going to visit Philly. I'll be up there tonight in Phoenixville, so I'll be tuning in to the whole lineup and all that. I feel like there's a similar arc to the way McNabb got to be up there, where he was objectively a really good quarterback, and yet the gripes kept piling up about things that weren't quite as good as people wanted them to be. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about that you make about, you know, stigmatizing of like, I want to be a pocket passer. I'm more than just a running quarterback. It's the dumbest thing ever because there's so many plays where a simple run for a guy that's got some wheels moves the chains and completely affects the defense.
All that matters.
Mm. So I don't get that. I want to ask you guys about where is the A.J. Brown meter at the moment.
Mm.
Because I know there was that early stuff complaining about targets, and then more and more when I watch him, I'm like, dude, you should have caught that. Dude, you should have caught that.
Mm.
Where are they at on A.J. Brown?
Well, the temperature was raised a couple weeks ago because that Monday night game against the Chargers when Jalen had all the turnovers, A.J. was partially responsible for that loss. I mean, he had a drop at the end in the end zone. They could have won the game. He dropped one off his hands that became an interception. He didn't play great that night, even though he had about 100 yards. So, yeah, I would say people have been frustrated with him. It feels like we're in a war. I mean, this kind of reminds us back to 20 years ago with the quarterback and the receiver, right? And I think at some point, guys, the Eagles are going to have to choose between keeping Jalen or keeping A.J. I mean, that time might come this offseason. Hugh, where do you think everyone is right now with A.J.?
You would keep the wideout over your quarterback?
Well, I wouldn't. I think the Eagles might.
I think people like the wideout. I mean, I don't know because I hear the players talk, B. Mitch, and then I see stories written. It's kind of hard to say because, you know, the media members, they're talking to somebody.
Somebody tells them something.
Yeah, but I'm talking to the players, and the players don't have a problem with him. So I don't know. Like, it's one of those ones I don't know who to believe.
Yeah. It's almost like half the fan base is like, stop talking, and half is like, hey, he's right. He's got a point. Something wrong with the offense in the passing game. We'll see.
If he's right, he better catch the damn ball that's going through both hands.
Yes, if you're going to talk, you better make the play. Guys, we appreciate you guys doing this. Have a great rest of your show, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
All right, y'all take care.
There you go, brother. 106.7 The Fan. Our guys, B. Mitch and Steve Saban down there.
The 8-4 head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, Nick, an awful lot, obviously, to say the least, going on. And before we get to X's and O's and all that stuff, I'm just curious how you're holding up with it all, because there's a lot of chatter, there's a lot of stuff. How are you on the emotional edge with everything going on these days?
Yeah, when you don't listen to the chatter and when you don't pay attention to it and you make sure that you're trying to work for the next game, that doesn't affect you. So, we're getting up off the ground. You know, you got two options when you get knocked down like we got on Friday. You can lay down and try to feel bad for yourself, or you get the heck up and keep fighting. All we know to do is fight, and so we're up. We're excited about a new opportunity. Getting the players back in here today after they got some rest, and excited to get some of these things corrected and then move on to the next game.
Hey, Nick, the word execution is being said by a lot of coaches and players lately when speaking publicly, referencing the offense. You know, you hear we have to execute better. And I see that word execute as code for players have to play better, whether it's not jumping off sides or anything. When do you consider changing who gets to play if they don't play better?
Yeah, it's everybody has to execute better. Players, coaches, all of us. And we always put the guys in the game that we think are going to be able to go out there and execute the best and for each and individual play. And that's thought about with every play that you go over and everything that you do. And so sometimes that's through different personnel. Sometimes that's taking one guy out, putting another guy in for one of those plays. But we constantly think about that. I have a lot of faith in the players and the coaches in here. And we're working like crazy to get things going the right way. Hasn't happened yet. I mean, we've had elements of it, but you know, obviously the last game, and you know, whenever you lose two in a row, you know, it shows itself. And even when you win and you're not playing to your standard. But we're constantly thinking about everything and how we get better.
Coach, you said you're sticking with Kevin Pitullo as the play caller, and his performance on game day gives us as fans concern. What gives you the confidence that he's still the right guy for that job, and how do you respond to fans who vandalized Kevin's house early Saturday morning?
You know, obviously, like I've said, in the greatest team sport there is, when things are going well, it's never just because one person. And when things are going bad, it's never just about one person. You know, obviously I spent a lot more time with Kevin than ever, you know, and the coaches and the players than I know that you guys get to outside of that. And you watch the body of work of your daily process, how you call the game. You know, like I said, if I thought it was just one thing, then, you know, sometimes when you think it's just one thing, you're able to do different things, but you know, and make changes, but that's not the case. And that's not how I feel, with that, you know, no comment about the vandalism or anything like that. I don't want to get into that. But just know that we're working like crazy to get it going better. And you know, had a little bit of time this week to, you know, reevaluate some of the things that we were doing and how we can get better off of that. And, you know, we've been in a little bit of we win four in a row, we lose two in a row. We then win four in a row, we lose two in a row. And so, you know, ready to get back up and go from there.
You know, Nick, I just want to tell you, and I understand the no comment in that you don't want to sort of get into a war of words with fans, so to speak. I just want you to know from our standpoint, we have expressed today absolute disgust with the action of those individuals. We think it's disgraceful. And we just want you to know that we have the back of you, your coaching staff, your team, and all good citizens when something nonsensical like that happens. So I want to express that to you. And
I appreciate that.
Of course.
I appreciate that.
Nick, Jalen, obviously, there have been some reports that have come out on him. One is that he doesn't want to run as much this year. And I'm curious, when these things get said, and it can't be easy on him, some of the reports are negative in nature. Do you sit down with Jalen, and I know you do on all sorts of topics, but do you specifically address these types of reports with him and sometimes dissect where they may come from and how he can best handle it, both within the locker room and as a public figure that has to go out there once a week and play a game?
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I'll say is Jalen will do anything. I think Jalen has proven that he'll do anything he needs to do to win each and every game. And if that means running, he'll run. And if that means throwing it or handing it to Saquon 20 times, he'll do that. And if that means throwing it 50 times, he'll do that. And so that's what one thing I can say. You know, it is like, I don't want to downplay anything that anybody hears, like with reports, but like we are not focused on that. Like, so it's not like, hey, this report was out, let's Jalen and I have a conversation about it. Like, when you're totally focused on what you have to do and not focused on anything else, then those things don't affect you, and that's how we have to live. Because as you guys know, there's different reports of everything out there. Like, this report is out there. This report's out there. Like, if we involved ourselves in all those things, like, I wouldn't have time to do anything else. Like, and so, you know, we're in a constant communication about everything. And that's why it's so important that you go through your process and you talk through everything and you talk through the game plan, you talk through what you can do better, what you can't, what you did really well. And so we're in constant communication about that stuff.
Coach, you told us in September that this team's identity is that of a physical running team, and we're 22nd in rush yards a game. We're 24th in yards per rush. And especially considering the windy conditions, you know, two of the last three games, it's getting cold. Why is this team so far from where was initially intended, you know, that physical running offensive team with five games to go?
Yeah, obviously we want to be able to run it and be able to have our play action and stuff like that off of that. And, you know, right now our execution and our game plan and our way we're coaching it, everything needs to get better. Again, it's hard for me to say. Of course I have ideas of what, you know, some of the things that we have to do better. But obviously that's not something that, and I really respect the job that everybody has to do in the media, but it's also my job to keep things in-house, not give things to, you know, the opponent that we play in the upcoming weeks. And so we have thoughts there, but again, it does. And I know I sound like a broken record here, and it's like, oh man, he keeps saying this. Like, it isn't just ever one thing of what needs to get better. And it's the same thing when you're playing really well. Mm-hmm. It's not just one thing there either.
All right.
And so, you know, that's, we know we have to get that part of our game, rolling. And that's not like, and I'm not sharing any real breaking information there. Like, teams that are well balanced are usually the teams that do, you know, that do well, that they can run and pass. Whenever you're a one-dimensional team, that's not good for any team there.
Not at all.
And so, you know, so we always want to be there, and one will help the other. We know that. So if we can get that going, then our pass game will get going better, and vice versa. And that's how we feel.
And then the discipline is an issue. You know, 91 penalties this season. That makes us the fifth most penalized team in the NFL. That's just behind the Giants, who have 92 penalties thrown against them. Why are we still so penalized?
Yeah, that's obviously something that we work on constantly, and understanding the rules, playing within our fundamentals, you know, not having any penalties that you can control on your own. Some thoughts of how we need to get better on that. And again, like I've said with penalties before, sometimes it's something that, you know, is a fundamental issue, right? When you go out there and play. And sometimes it's, hey, we weren't in position to succeed as players based off of what we did as coaches, and they're fighting against it, and they got a hard fundamental to be able to do. And some of these happen in the heat of the battle. The ones you're trying to eliminate are the pre-snap ones, right? The ones you're trying to eliminate are the post whistle ones, because that to me is something that you can focus on and really take, you know, really can control more than anything else. And those are ones that, you know, we've had a couple of those and that have hurt us throughout the season. And those are the ones that we have to clean those ones up. You know, we had three of those in the game the other day. We were able to overcome those, but it was still, you can't put it that way. You can't look at it and be like, oh, we overcame this, so it's now, no, because you don't know the one that you're not going to be able to overcome. So controlling the things that you can control, and some of those penalties do happen in the heat of the game, you know, for different reasons.
Nick Sirianni with us, as he is every Tuesday at this time. Nick, the thing that shocked me the most the last two games is the defense, frankly, because, you know, you go back three and four games ago, those two great victories, Detroit and Green Bay. A lot of us thought maybe the defense was back to being the best in football, certainly amongst the very best in football. And so I wonder, with the defense not playing as well, do you worry about the D becoming emotionally worn down from carrying such a heavy burden through now 3 months of this season? Has that affected their performance?
No, I don't. You know, this team is intertwined, and this team doesn't. Neither side wants to let each other down because they spend so much time together, and they do, you know, genuinely like each other, which is a huge thing on a team. You know, I think it's just a matter of we all have to be more consistent. Coaches, players, offense, defense, special teams, like all of us need to be more consistent, right? And we know how much room for growth that we have. And, you know, with everything, when we know we have the right guys in this building and we're sitting here at 8-4, but obviously coming off of two losses in a row. But we know how much we have the ability to play better, coach better. And, you know, we're excited about that. So I think what, again, I'll be back with the players here today. But I've, you know, talked to a lot of guys and everyone's excited to get back to work and get going. I don't think, you know, we don't have to act how anybody else acts except for in this building, right? We don't have to, you know, feel down because, you know, someone else feels down or, you know, worry about something because someone else is worrying about. We have to go to work and lock in and focus on the things we need to do. And that's being tough, detailed, and together, and look forward to doing that today.
And, Coach, what's the number one thing you need to do to rehabilitate the culture of the team, you know, coming off of those back-to-back losses that you mentioned there?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, John. You know, it's not like when you're going through hard times, you're like, you double down on tough, detailed, together. When you're going through good times, you double down on tough, detailed, together. If I was not consistent in my message with that and with the culture, then I wouldn't be doing my job because culture is about, you know, setting a vision. You know, culture is about, you know, consistently, you know, being able to show what that vision looks like. And culture is about being relentless and living it yourself, you know, being relentless with everything and living it yourself. And so, you know, through the ups, through the downs, because we all want consistency, right? We all want consistency on the field. But most importantly, I think players want consistency from me. I want consistency from them. And we'll double down on the things that, you know, win, lose, you know, draw. We're going to double down on tough detail together and be relentless with it as we go.
Hey, Nick, good luck versus San Diego versus the Chargers on.
I say that still
all the time. And Ruben, who's the Angels? The California, the Anaheim, the Los Angeles Angels.
I coach for the Chargers California. For 5 years, and four of them I was with the San Diego, so I have a little bit more excuse.
California Angels and I think it's the Cleveland Indians still, right. As far as I'm concerned.
All right, Nick, stay well. Good luck versus the Chargers on Monday night. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Coach. Great luck.
There he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.